Okay, good evening, everyone. We're going to start by turning to 1 Kings chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 14 to 16. And in this passage, we read about King Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, and the introduction to his rather cataclysmic reign, which is this address to the people where he infamously decides to listen to the advice of his younger friends instead of his father's experienced counselors. And that address starts in verse 14. So we're going to start reading. It says, "And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, 'My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.' So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of events from the Lord, that he might establish his word, which the Lord spoke through Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. When all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, 'What portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse.'" So, in these three verses, we see three problems with how Rehoboam is going to rule his people. In the first verse, we see that he is going to add to their yoke. It says, "I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." He has no compassion for the people, no compassion for their toils or their labors. All he cares about is himself and his own personal gain. In the second verse, we read that he does not listen to his people. And furthermore, in verse 16, we read that all the people know he doesn't listen to them. It's obvious. Again, he doesn't care, not just about their labor, but about their concerns, their pleas, any requests that they have. He could not care less. He only cares about himself. And in the third verse, we see kind of an interesting statement. It says, "They answered the king, saying, 'What portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse.'" So they're referring to this promise that God has given Israel through David, through the kingdom of David. And it's obvious that Rehoboam is not going to be fulfilling this promise. In fact, he is going to cause the kingdom of David to split for a time. But what is this promise? What is this promise that they have? Well, we actually read of this promise pretty succinctly in a passage that I'm sure we've all heard a lot last month, and that's in Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. And it says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." And of course, we know this is speaking of Jesus. Jesus who will fulfill this promise, this inheritance through the son of Jesse. And the kingdom of Jesus will be very different from the kingdom of Rehoboam. He will not share in Rehoboam's faults or the faults of any other earthly king. We read in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, that he doesn't add to our yoke. We read, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He does not thoughtlessly discipline with scorpions. Instead, he comes alongside and teaches us gently and humbly. Because unlike Rehoboam, he doesn't actually need the fruits of our labors. He's fully God. He doesn't need us to accomplish his will. he could do that himself. If all he wanted was good works, he could make everyone do good works. But instead, he wants a relationship, and he wants to help us and teach us. And he listens, doesn't he? In Romans 8:34, we read, "Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us." And all through Hebrews, we read how he is our great and perfect high priest who communicates with God on our behalf. He listens to us and he cares for us. He listens to our requests and our anxiety. In fact, he tells us to cast our burdens and anxieties upon him through prayer and supplication. And in Romans 8:26, we read, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Through Jesus, we have access to the Holy Spirit, who listens not just to our words and our requests, but the very meaning of our words when our words fail us. And finally, he is that perfect fulfillment of the promises of God to the Israelites, but not just to the Israelites, also to us Gentiles as part of the church. We read in Galatians 4, verses 4 to 7, the one chapter apparently I didn't print out. There we go. "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that they might receive the adoption as sons." So through Christ, we become adopted as sons. That is our inheritance. But we read further in Romans 8:15 to 17 that we are not just heirs of God. We are fellow heirs with Christ. And how amazing is that? It says, "But you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ." And heirs of what? Heirs to this perfect kingdom that Jesus will fulfill, this perfect kingdom of David, the kingdom of God. And we read about that kingdom in Revelation 21, 22 to 27. We'll just read a couple verses in there. Starting at 22, "I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb." And in verse 27, "And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life." And this is our full inheritance, in eternity with God, in eternity with Christ, in the perfect kingdom, with no sin and no disciplining with scorpions. And what better inheritance can there be? You know, it says the people condemned Rehoboam as he was standing up there addressing them, probably from some kind of balcony in the palace, probably in glorious robes, looking down on them. And they rejected him. But Jesus once rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And how did the people accept him then? It says, "The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" Now, unfortunately, that acceptance was a little short-lived. And just a little time later, they'd say that Jesus was not their king. And they'd be chanting, "Crucify him, crucify him." But that's temporary. We know there is coming a day when all will praise him, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And that is the final fulfillment of God's promises to Israel and to us, the church.